Okay, I got some housekeeping stuff I'm making sure we get done. But if you know here, these altars never close. You don't see doors on them. There's not a specific time in the service at the beginning or at the end that you come down here. If you feel the Holy Spirit at any time moving upon you and you need somebody to pray for you, don't keep sitting there, because you're not following the Holy Spirit. Because I can tell you, you do that, and at the end of the service, you're going to walk out of here and you're going to say, I meant to, I should have. Just know, I don't have to ask at the end for you to come down. That's not how we do things here. It took me a long time to get used to that here, because I grew up Southern Baptist, and you didn't go until they told you to go. Now, it may not be you. You maybe grew up Southern Baptist and been different. That's just my experience in that, and that's not here. We're free to follow the Holy Spirit's direction, and you've seen people come down here. Maybe you needed to, but you didn't. Keep those folks that you've seen down here in your prayers, okay? There are mountains that need to be climbed, but I tell you what, as I was telling somebody the other day, you know, the word tells us that Jesus said that, you know, he'll take our yoke upon himself, all right? And you need to understand what that means and what that yoke is, because I don't think most people think of an egg, and that's not it. It is a yoke of an oxen. And it's that wooden thing that they have their heads bound into. And you put two oxen in there, and they're plowing that field together. And that's the promise that Christ has given us, is that when we're going through the things in our life, that he will slide his head in that side of that with you. And then you'll find out that you still got to plow, but it's going to be a lot easier. Okay. But he didn't say that we weren't going to have to plow anymore, though. And the ladies that are here, I repeat over and over, and I think I did this with Priscilla other week, Amber, and Nico, I continuously say, not to scare anyone, but it is hard to be a Christian. It is easy to accept Christ, but it is not easy to follow Christ, okay? It is a simple process, but it is not simple to be able to do, because there's a straight and narrow path that we're supposed to be walking. But Christ come alongside of us, and he said he would help us in that. And so you're going through something today that may not be anything you can do or anything I can do. And don't think when you come down here that there's anything in this world that I can do for you or another person praying. We're coming down here to find out what God and God alone can do for you. The last couple of weeks, we've looked at, as I said earlier, the non-negotiables, the absolutes of the Christian faith. We talk here, if you've been here on Wednesday night and sometimes on Sunday, we discuss some deep things. We bring out questions, and I stand here and sometimes play the, and I don't mean this by Satan, but the devil's advocate. You know what that means, where I'm being up here and I'm just questioning you back and forth. I may not necessarily believe what I'm pushing you to question, but there are things that we kind of split us up in the Christian world here. 41,000 Christian denominations. I mentioned that for the past 3 weeks. There are studies that have been done, and you say, well, how in the world are there 41,000 Christian denominations? Well, you go out and do a study on exactly how many Baptists there are. I mentioned earlier, I grew up Southern Baptist. That's just one piece of the Baptist Church, National Baptist, American Baptist, and I've said that before, different Methodists and whatnot. When you total them up, 41,000 different beliefs that are out there. So that's why we're doing this study on Sunday morning. So you know that you look on our sign, and I said the other day, and I misspoke, and I'm going to correct myself, because Mr. Tom Hudson back there said, you know, this church, we are not non-denominational, okay? We are inter-denominational. All right. And I like that a lot better, because we don't not know what we believe. We do know what we believe. But we are made up of people that are in backgrounds of Catholic Church, of Methodist Church, of Baptist Church. As I said myself, you know, I hadn't heard of any Episcopalians, but Presbyterian backgrounds, Nazarene backgrounds that are in here. We're made up of all different types of denominations in here. But what we have learned, and I hope at some point you'll learn, is that they are not sections of heaven. Baptists go here, and the Methodists go here, and the Catholics go here. No, because see, there are core beliefs that every Christian should hold. And it's those core beliefs that matter whether you enter in heaven or not. Okay? And that's the things that we've talked about. So the first Sunday, we brought out about the Bible. And the 66 books of the Bible, as which I'm holding right here, is what we put our stock in. It is the only authoritative has the only authority. 66 books of the Bible. It is the only authoritative. Inerrant, has no errors. Infallible, it does not fail. Word of the living God. Not any other testament, not any other book, not anything that I say that's contradictory to what this word is. This is it, right here. Not anything that you read in somebody's book, I don't care what greater preacher they are, it does not supersede God's word. Okay? We have the beginning in Genesis, we have the end in Revelation. What more do you need? Okay? There's nothing else that we need outside of that. We looked at that same Sunday 2 weeks ago, faith. You've got to have faith this morning. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see, but God will make a way. That's faith. Okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things unseen. I don't care what you want to do. You say, no, if I can't see it, I'm not going to do it. Then how are you going to be an atheist? Because you believe in a lot of things that you cannot see. Okay? You believe that the world was created by the Big Bang. You can't see that. You believe in a lot of things. Evolution, you can't see that. There's no things there. So you got to take faith. Everybody has faith. Okay? And it's what you put your faith in. And here we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We put our faith in the Word of God. And that's what we stand on. It's been working fine for thousands and thousands of years. And I figured that it's going to be lasting until the end of this world. Last Sunday we spoke about the Trinity. Because in this church we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All of one substance. But in three persons. God is Jesus, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and all of that thing that is there that you can try to understand, and when you do, you can come talk to me about it and help me to understand all of it, but that's where faith comes in. Because Jesus Christ is who he said he was. We read the scriptures last Sunday. He said, I and the Father are one. Well, one of three things. He's either liar, lunatic, or he is Lord and who he said he was. And I'm going to go with the last one. I don't know about you. That's what we do in this church here. Amen. Amen. Then we looked at the virgin birth last Sunday of Christ. We believe in the virgin birth. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We looked at the word that is used in the Greek there with Matthew and Luke. The only word that is hardly ever used in the Bible to always mean that they never had sexual relation with a woman, okay, or with a man. You can use that same word of a man. It means virgin. That's it. Not young woman, a little girl, or any of those things. And you see the word, we looked at Isaiah 7:14 when it was prophesied that is out there. And so if you are a Christian, you must believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Because to not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, you don't believe in the Bible. And if that part of the Bible is wrong, then what else is wrong? That goes back to the Sunday before that. Everything is right. And so if everything is right, then it says that, then that's true. Okay? So that's why we're going through this progression. Okay? It's a lot like what we're studying on Sunday nights, and we'll look at tonight. The author of Hebrews sets it up, and you go forward. And he's backing up everything that he's saying. And I'm not quite as good as the author of Hebrews, but we're going to try, okay? This morning, we want to look at the meat, okay? The meat and the potatoes of the core doctrine of the Christian church. If you don't believe the things we're going to talk about this morning, then hit your knees where you're at or an altar before you leave here, because you've got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, if you don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in the way that we're going to present them this morning, something may be the matter. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I know what Linda was talking about now, but you had to turn in your Bibles because the screens aren't working this morning, but that's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. It says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you take your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I pass on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Here you have Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he is laying out what I'm talking about this morning to this church. And go back to verse 15 right there in your Bibles and look. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand." That word right there in the Greek is histemi, and it is a word that conveys to us that you are unwavering in this belief. You're not tossed back and forth, that you're taking a concrete stand in this belief right here. And so this is a gospel that is the bedrock of where you stand as in relation to Jesus Christ. And so you need to ask yourself this morning, are you standing on these beliefs unwavering? Or do you sometimes question some of the things that we're going to be talking about? By this gospel, verse 2, this is why it's so important, you are saved. It says, if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you, Paul says, otherwise you have believed in vain. If you don't believe the gospel that we're talking about right here, then your belief doesn't matter. Okay? You have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you. And my Bible translates this as of first importance. I think some other translations put it out there. He's just saying that he preached this at first. But said that Christ died for our sins according to what? According to the scriptures. And here Paul is going right back to what I'm talking about today. According to this word is why we believe these things. It's simple this morning to take a look at the main meat that we're looking at here. Yes, Christ died. And you have a lot of people say they believe in that. Yes, he was buried. Yes, he rose from the dead. But it's just like last Sunday. I don't think that you fully will understand when you say you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Do you really believe it in a way that you can stand unwavering in front in a national television show? Let's say that you're on, back when Larry King was interviewing folks. That if Larry King looked you in the eyeballs and he said, do you believe that Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? Would you say absolutely? Or would you go, I would look like a fool to say that, because anybody who come tell me that they were pregnant but they didn't sleep with anybody, I'd look at them like they were crazy, so this must be a crazy. If that's your thought process right now, then I don't understand how you even make it through life, because there's a lot of things I don't understand. And the only way I can keep on going is because I just put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You're going through things in your life right now, and a lot of people that come down here, you're Christian people. Most everybody that come down here, it's hard to understand why somebody else that you think in this life is so much worse than you, but you're going through all of these things. That's hard. That causes a lot of people to stumble, okay? But the thing is, that's why I said earlier, it's harder to be a Christian. You're going to go through more because Satan is going to knock on your door all the time. I want us to take a look at the how and the why of each of these things. So how did Jesus die? He was crucified on a Roman cross after having been subjected to hours of brutal beatings. Okay, so when you say that you believe that Christ died, I wish everybody here, and you can go on our website and listen to it, could have been here when Dr. Dennis Ashley, the director of trauma at the medical center and the dean at Mercer Medical School, came here and presented to us the medical facts of the crucifixion of Jesus, because you would understand how Jesus Christ of Nazareth died for each and every one of you. It wasn't that he just run up there to the cross, got up there, hung for a little while, and went back down. He was beat unmercifully for hours and hours before he ever made it to the cross. Hung on the cross, having lost over half of his blood supply. Flesh hanging from his bones. Open wounds. And then they nail spikes through his hands, through his feet, and then stab him in his heart to make sure that he was dead. That's how he died, okay? It's not some pretty picture that you see painted in a crucifix on a painting somewhere. It is gruesome, it is nasty, and it is ugly in the way that we look at it, but it's the most beautiful thing that's ever happened, okay? But don't you forget what Christ did for you. When you just sing about it here, when we take communion as we did last Sunday and every first Sunday in this church, when you take that, you remember that body was broken. You remember that that blood was shed, because it's only because of that that you get to stand before God one day, white as snow, okay? And you look, and you can find that if you want your references to where is it where Jesus died? Look at all four Gospels. You can read it. There's a long recording of what happened there. Why did Jesus die? That's what I just said, you know, right here. But he died for us. But he died not only for that, though, but he died to fulfill the biblical prophecies such as that we see in Isaiah 53. And we're going to look at some pieces of that. And this goes again to show you that the Bible is the source of authority, that the Bible is the only authoritative word of God. When you see the things that we have going forward, you look and you know, here Jesus, Isaiah said that he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering. It says he was crushed and he was pierced. And then you see 500 years later, Jesus Christ going through this. So he died the way he died on that cruel Roman cross. And he was buried, as we'll see in a minute, according to the scriptures and a fulfillment of the word. That's why you know the Bible is true. It is fulfilling itself every single day. So you can look at Isaiah 53 and see how Jesus died. And then you can look and say, well, why did he do that? Then everybody hardly knows this verse. Everybody does know this verse. I said hardly. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why did Jesus die? He died because he loved you. And he died because he loved me. And I'm telling you today, if that's not worthy to be worshiped and praised and bowing down before and giving up every ounce of your life, then I don't know what is. Somebody who has done all of those things for us. How was Jesus buried? We believe he was buried. How was he buried? He was buried in a tomb donated by Joseph of Arimathea, a Jewish priest. You find that in Matthew chapter 27. Let's turn there and let's look at that for a moment. Matthew chapter 27. Verses 57 through 60. Some people sit back these past couple of weeks and go, what's he talking about this for? We know all this. You would be surprised, the people who don't know these things, especially know where they are. So when you get done with this, you'll know what we believe, why we believe it, and where you can find it in the instruction manual. Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 60. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Well, you see that, and that's pretty interesting because, as I mentioned, Isaiah chapter 53 earlier, as talking about how Jesus died, well, it also talks about how Jesus was buried in Isaiah 53, verse 9. It says, he was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. He had him some money. He had this tomb that was carved out of rock, and it took money to do that. You did not get buried this way if you did not have some money. And Jesus was pretty much penniless. And so you see him buried according to the scriptures. As you go back and you read this, again, the Bible fulfilling itself through and through. He also was buried in the way that he was, and looking at this, because of his own words. He said that he was going to be buried. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 says, for as Jonah, this is Jesus' own words, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Right there. Jesus Christ, he had to be buried. He had to have died the way the Bible said he was going to die. He had to be buried, placed in that tomb. We know he was in there for 3 days. And we know that on the 3 days, when we get to this in a minute, that he rose from the dead. And you ask yourself, you say you know that, but why did he have to do that? Yes, we know he wanted to, but I want you to understand that the Bible is intricate. And it's like a movie. When you watch a sitcom or a TV show, that camera does not show you something unless it means something, because it's going to the plot of that show. If they show you, you know, let's say you're watching a doctor's show, and they show you somebody picking up a utensil and putting it in their pocket, well, they didn't just show you that. Everything you're seeing on that TV screen has to mean something. And when you look at this in the Bible, it's the same way. This is old news here. Everything that is said and everything that is done is for a purpose. And it all links up together. And that gives me belief to know any atheist can stand before me, and I'm not scared to talk to them. Because I say, explain this. Explain how everything that Jesus done was written on scrolls that he held in his own hand when he read Isaiah in the synagogue. And do you think Jesus read that and said, hey, I think I'm going to sign up for that? He wasn't a lunatic. As I said earlier, liar, lunatic, or Lord, he was not that. Nobody's that crazy. At least in going through that, he would have went, wait, stop. This is too much. I did not sign up for this. No, he continued, and the Bible tells us that he opened not his mouth, spat upon and beat, and he's fulfilling his own word. So why did he die? He died because he loved us. Why was he buried like that? Because he said out of his own mouth that was what's going to happen, and he had to, because it was prophesied 500 years before he ever died that he was going to be there 3 days. You look at Jesus. How did Jesus rise? Somebody answered that for me today. How did Jesus rise? Okay. Did he rise spiritually? Halfway? Bodily? How was it? Bodily. He come out of that tomb. His body was no longer there. We believe in this church, and the Bible teaches this unequivocally, that Jesus rose bodily, okay? Bodily from that tomb. He walked out. They looked in there. Right? We do it in the play. Hey, I always go back to that. Just like we was there. We look in there, and John runs up to the tomb, you know, and he says, Peter, you know, he's gone. His body is not there. Can it be true? And I go, well, let me see. And I look, and in there, and I say, Peter, it is just like they said. It is the third day. He has arisen. We must go and tell the others. And then we run down the thing and go back. You know the story, okay? You see that? He's gone, y'all. He's gone in the play, and he was gone then, okay? That's where we got that from. That's where you got it from when you wrote the script, right? That's what happened. They went. His body was gone. It's not like when we die. And we've been talking about this on Wednesday nights. We've had funerals where caskets have sat right here. They're not there. That's a body. They rose up right now. But see, they hadn't seen the real resurrection that Jesus was the first fruits of, that he rose not only spirit, but he rose in his body. And then he ascended to the Father, being the first one to enter into heaven in his whole self. When he was walking around to Thomas, and then, I mean, he was eating. He ate on the seashore out there with Peter. It was his body. It wasn't a spirit. You would have been like Casper or something. You see it. No, it was his body. He was showing. But yet now he also had spiritual qualities to this body. It was a body unlike we've ever seen before, because see, he could move around in and through walls and be here and there in an instant, in a blink of an eye. He rose bodily out of that tomb. Amen. Hey, that's what I'm telling you. This old body that we got right here, and you think about that kind of deal we get. That when it, you know, in Thessalonians, when it tells us, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we're going to meet him in the air, and in the twinkling of an eye, and now we're going to get that new body. You're not going to have to worry about all of that sickness and death and pain and suffering and all of those things. That's the glory that you have in Jesus Christ. We've got that hope, okay? I love that today, because I got a little knee ache and high blood pressure. I'm going bald. I hope I have hair, okay? You think he will, Wilma? hair. Hallelujah. Okay. We have hope, Chris. Bless your heart. Okay. I don't know about that. That looks like the follicles are too much gone. Okay. But we're going to go, and there's so many. Look, all of these things you're dealing with, and you've seen these people down here, it's not going to matter anymore. You're not going to have to worry about that. Okay. Ailments of your body and all of those things. And here Jesus rose, holes in his hands and feet, and he wasn't running around saying, ow. Okay. It was there. I'm serious. Okay. I'm serious. People will tell you that Jesus Christ, he rose out of them. They believe he come out bodily, but they believe he was never dead. Okay, and Dr. Ashley spoke about that for a moment. They believe he did not die, that he was laying in the tomb. It's called the swoon theory. Okay, let's just go for this for a minute. Let's see if this makes sense. Okay, we believe here that he rose bodily, he was resurrected, he walked around, all that kind of stuff. All right, here's your alternative. He didn't really die after he had been beaten, flesh falling off his bones, losing half of his blood supply, and being stabbed through the heart. And he was placed in there behind a big stone. Roman soldiers out there. And so here's what we believe. Not what we believe, what some people believe. He got up. He woke up and said, oh, I didn't die. He got up. He moved that big old stone with holes in his hands and holes in his feet and the wounds and all. He whipped the Roman soldiers that was right there, beat the stew out of them, and fled the scene of the crime. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life. I couldn't move a wooden stone, beat two Roman soldiers right now. Come on now. I mean, and you look at what we believe here. It is not crazy what we believe about Jesus Christ. It's not crazy. It is the truth. The Bible tells us that. Don't let anybody shame you, kids that are here. Don't let the teachers shame you because they don't understand it. Just tell them, I don't understand it either, but I believe it. Okay? Faith. Faith is there. That's what you look at. Whew. Lord, help me. You can look at that in John chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. And again, Jesus was speaking about what was going to be happening. And he says here, then the Jews demanded of him, what miraculous sign can you show us to prove that you have the authority to do all of this? So when Jesus rose in that bodily fashion, he did it to fulfill his own promise. Because in verse 19, he says, Jesus answered them. He said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. They said, wait. The Jews replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. Right there. Scripture says it. I believe it. He said he's going to destroy the temple. That means his body. You're going to destroy my body? He said, in 3 days, I'm going to raise this body back. In 3 days, he come up out of there. Okay? That's what happened. That's what I believe it. That's why I believe it. Right there. And then you look down and you see that, and I want you to understand another reason why he did it. And this is sweet, y'all. Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. Paul's writing to the church at Rome, and he says, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again, and death has no mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. Death has no mastery over Jesus Christ. Death has no mastery over you and over me if we believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, you may die, but we have the promise that when the time comes, we're going to be resurrected, and we're going to meet him in the air, and we're going to live the life that we're talking about with this new body. You have that hope today. And so what does all of this mean that we've talked about this morning? Jesus' death, Jesus' burial and Jesus' resurrection. That means that you serve a God today, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, that come down from his perch in heaven to humble himself to this earth, that died the cruelest form of punishment ever known to man for one simple reason, because he loved you and me and everybody else sitting beside you, in front of you, or behind you so much that he looked all over heaven and he couldn't find anybody that was worthy enough. But he stood up and he said he would go himself, and he come, he did it, and he died. And not only did he die, but he rose again and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now you go and find that in Buddhism. You find that in Hinduism. You find that in the Norway religions about Thor. You guys seen all the movies? You know, the blind-headed guy, he looks like somebody, you know, you may want to pal around with. Nobody come down here like that, y'all. I'm telling you this. If you don't believe it today, pick up your Bible for a minute and read it. It is real. It is true. And you cannot prove to me that it's wrong. You cannot. I'm not scared of it. I'm like Paul in this much, that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation, okay, for all. That, I'm not ashamed of that, and I want to go out there and tell everybody about it. You're here today for what purpose? I want to ask you about that. You're here today to learn, to worship God, and to go out there and put application to that knowledge that you have. If you don't do that, then what you're doing here is in vain. In anything that we do, in our men's meeting yesterday, and women's that were here, and youth, if you're teaching something, or if I'm teaching something, I want you to know what we're supposed to be going and doing about it. Because we're supposed to be about the Father's business. You've seen Jesus doing that when he was 12 years old. He said, don't you know I got to be about my Father's business? Well, don't you know that we all, today, you got an opportunity. I love to say this. I love to challenge you. I love to remind you that you need to not only tip, but you need to be nice. Before you leave here, it is so important what most of you are going to go do when you leave this sanctuary today. You're going to go eat, if I'll ever let you go, okay? You're going to go eat. Be nice, because they know where you just come from. And they know that you're telling them that you represent Jesus, and you better act like it, okay? Because he said that he come not to be served, but to serve. And so maybe you don't go to the restaurant to be served. Maybe it's your time there to serve. And ask yourself that before you go. Let's pray. Father God, I just stand in your holy presence. Father God, right now, thanking